stick a pony in my pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Cause if you want the best, and says you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons or the tides of the sea. But he's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la.
Sorry, I did not know how I held it that long. I can hear him going.
Good afternoon, Peckham. Welcome back to the Jolly Boys podcast.
Morning, Dom. What's your dive?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm not too bad, mate. Not too bad. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
This is a bit of a strange episode today, but a very special episode because we are not joined by the other two guys today. Unfortunately, James and Ed are both busy, but it's kind of worked out in our favour. Because you and I, last week, travelled all the way to London to watch the Only Fools and Horses musical.
Yep.
And we thought, now would be a really good time for us to share our thoughts and almost do a review of the show.
A pony in me pocket, I'll fetch a suitcase from the van. Cos if you want the best things and you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cos where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the tide to the sea. But here's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and old shit work? La 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 la.
I hadn't seen it before, I didn't know anything about it, whereas that was Tom's second time going to see the show, so just a heads up guys, this podcast review may contain spoilers. We're going to try and not talk about the production in too much detail, but be warned, we probably will be discussing the characters, the plot line and some of the songs, so if you do want it to be a complete fresh experience when you go and see the musical, feel free to completely skip this and hold tight for our next Jolly Boys podcast episode.
I've just been aware of any... I did have in mind that, yeah, we won't go into nitty-gritties of what happens. I think it's us just talking about the actors on stage and how they portrayed the characters and any observations, really.
Another warning we should give you guys, we are not professional reviewers. We're just two friends who like Only Fools and Horses that would like to share information with the fans, that's you guys. And we do not get paid to make these podcasts, we haven't earned a penny.
We're not.
What do you? How much have you earned?
Oh, I can't go into that, mate.
Alright,
fair enough. No, nothing at all, this is purely for the
academic
laughs. Very good.
So anyway, yeah, we're not paid to do this podcast. We're not affiliated with the musical in any way. This is personally just our own opinions and thoughts. So I just thought I'd clear that up just in case.
That's right. Well, yeah, so first thing I have to say is when we arrived, I got in contact with Peter Baker, who plays Trigger in the show, and oh my God, it's just so uncanny. Even outside of his Trigger costume, it could be a relative of Roger Lloyd Pax. But he was quite a gent, wasn't he? I contacted him via Twitter, via my Trigger parody, and he responded within seconds and said, yeah, that's fine, let's meet up. He came out and had a quick chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah. Peter was a really, really lovely, lovely chap and a very talented actor. Now, he did mention, didn't he, when we had a quick chat with him before, I think it was 10 minutes before the doors opened, and we were just chatting to him about the show and how's it going and how excited we are, because we've heard some fantastic stuff. Well, before we talk about meeting Peter, I mentioned previously that I didn't know anything about this musical at all. I deliberately avoided reading anything about it in the press or on YouTube. I wanted to go with a complete open mind to see what it was all about. I didn't know how long it was, what characters were in it, how long they're in it, what songs they were going to sing. I literally knew nothing, whereas Tom had been before. So my expectations for the show were, I think they were fairly high, but kind of at the same time I didn't have any idea what to expect. But we did previously speak to Blues' Anthony Costa and EastEnders' Jamie Borthwick about the musical, because I believe they both went on the set, they went the premiere, didn't they, I think, the opening night of the show?
I think Jamie did. I think when we spoke to Anthony, he'd already been out for a couple of months.
So Jamie definitely did. I think Anthony went a little bit after, but they both spoke very highly of the show, didn't they? And
my expectation before I went the first time was, I just don't know how this is going to work. Almost no expectation, but I did want to try it, and I wasn't, definitely wasn't disappointed. It was brilliant both times. Great. I mean, the theatre itself is just perfect because it's not huge, but it's just the right size to house that kind of event. So contacting Peter on Twitter, he came out straight away. We had a quick chat, and one of the things he said was that Dawn French had been to watch the show. She found it, any scene with triggering, quite difficult because of the uncanny resemblance, to say the least. But yeah, I think they've had loads of stars go to the every night. They have someone. Ricky Gervais went along. I think that was his first musical he'd ever attended.
Yeah, if you follow any of the actors from the musical on Twitter, they're always posting shots of them meeting these actors and other stars behind the scenes after the shows. So it does seem to be attracting quite a large, a large audience.
Paul Whitehouse's mate Harry has been 3 or 4 times, so I've been told. So yeah, I mean, it's a John Sullivan production, isn't it? Essentially, Jim Sullivan and Paul Whitehouse have written it, but John Sullivan was planning this, which that's one of the first things I learned when they announced the musical. I thought, blimey, John Sullivan was actually trying to put this together alongside the 30-year anniversary special back in 2011. Thank God that they continue his great legacy.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Peter Baker was absolutely generous. So we thank Peter, had a quick photo, then he went back inside. You know, he'd only had about a good hour before he had to be on stage, maybe hour and a half.
I think probably less than that.
Yeah, and he still had time to come out and say hi, so that's quite a very nice touch.
I heard great things about Peter's portrayal of his character Trigger from Anthony Costa in Jamie Borthwick, so it was really nice to meet him and to see him come out in character, and I think he absolutely smashed the role for Trigger. He did a really, really good job. But anyway, we'll talk more about characters a bit later on. So moving on now to the theatre. The theatre is the Haymarket Theatre in London. Yeah. It's the first time that I've ever been before. To be honest with you, I didn't really know much about the theatre until Tom mentioned the Only Fools and Horses musical, but it's a beautiful theatre, isn't it? I don't know how many it holds. It's not huge, but it's got a nice quaintness to it, hasn't it?
It's got a 2-tier balcony and then the stalls.
It's like a stereotypical old theatre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful gold trimming around it, and lovely red seats, and it's very, very atmospheric, and I think if it was held, personally for me, if it was held in a newer venue, it just wouldn't feel the same. I don't think it would have quite worked.
No, I agree. No, I back in my mind, I was hoping they'd hold it at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane, like in Royal
Figaro,
Flash.
Figaro.
But no, it's great. Great venue, great seats. Right, we're up a balcony, but we're right at the front.
We bought tickets, didn't we, with some viewing restrictions, which we were kind of okay about, because the first time you visited the musical, you had the same experience, didn't you, and it didn't bother you very much.
Our tickets were quite very good value, but apparently there was a obstructive view, but the
there wasn't. We were really lucky. I think we dodged a bullet there, so we got a fantastic view. I think we were sat on the second balcony on the front row, so overlooked all of the stage, didn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Couldn't be happy about that.
So what did you make of the set then?
I thought the set was absolutely fantastic. So to explain to the fans a little bit more about how it works. So the set is on effectively a rotating circle. And is it 3 or is it 4 sets they have within the circle?
You also had the flat, you had the pub, and then you had like the market scene. Or third part would be a generic use, wouldn't it? So it could be a certain venue, could be the market.
So it does change, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does change. But it's got three sections.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised. So when you first sit down in the theatre, the curtains are drawn, so you can't see anything. It's not until the curtains open, when the production starts, you can see what the set looks like. And I thought it was designed perfectly, and it was lit in a really atmospheric way. For me, it didn't look like a stage show. It was like I was watching a film or an episode of Only Fools and Horses on the television. I don't think there was any details that they missed.
No.
And I believe they did use a few original props from Only Fools and Horses on the stage set.
Yes, they are. There are some original props, and you may see the van at one point, but that's got the original number plate, so it's definitely from the show, which adds to the charm.
I think it's quite nice if you are a big fan of Running Fools and Horses. There's lots of Easter eggs to spot within the sets.
I've noticed straight away, you know, Del Boy's cigar jar, the ceramic puppy dog on his cocktail bar.
Yep. What about the chair Grandad sits in?
I think it is, you know. I'm sure there's a fan out there who owns a lot of these, some of these props. Definitely the chair.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 for stage design.
Yeah.
I don't think they could have done it better. It's not a huge theatre and it's not a massive stage.
This isn't a criticism. I would like to have seen three television sets where Grandad was sat.
That's fair enough. So there's probably many of you listeners out there thinking, how on earth have they adapted Only Fools and Horses to a musical? And the best way for me to describe it to you is basically what I think's happened is they've chosen all the highlight bits from throughout the series, from series 1 to 7, and they plotted it around, and they've almost sort of bridged in the gaps to make the story work.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way to describe it, and I think they've done a really, really good job of doing that.
Oh, they've mashed to some extent. Certain characters overlapping other characters, but it doesn't spoil it. This is like a homage to a great show.
I think they obviously had to make sacrifices within the story and characters to make the story work. So there might be some diehard Only Fools and Horses fans who might point out, well, hang on a minute, that happened before that.
Yeah.
Or that's not exactly how it happened. But you've got to go to the production with an open mind and think about how difficult it must have been for them and how brave for them to be able to work with all the key points of a sitcom and tie them all together. Bear in mind, how many years was Only Fools and Horses running?
Well, 81 to 2003.
Long time, lots of material to put it together, but I think they did an absolutely fantastic job. There are some characters in it which aren't necessarily in it for a massive amount of time, so what they cleverly did was they gave them songs which are written for them, which helps them give the audience more of a backstory about the character rather than them coming out having lots of dialogue on set, and I thought that worked really, really well. I'm not necessarily going to tell you what characters those characters are, but I think I don't think any of the characters were rushed.
No, definitely not. Definitely not, and I would argue that some characters had just as much dialogue just that than the main three or four characters.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may well get Boise saying just as much as Del, potentially.
Yeah, it's just the production's been written in a very clever way, hasn't it?
A special shout out to one of the actors who played, the best way to describe it was Jack of All Trades. He played a number of characters, not a character you're already familiar with, but he filled in many scenes really, really well. Oscar Conlon Murray, and I'm sorry if that's the surname's not pronounced correctly, but he was brilliant and he fit in really well. Clearly, I think he's probably quite an experienced stage actor. Still quite a young man, but he was really, really good.
I can feel it in my bones, Rodney.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this time next year, we'll be millionaires.
Yeah, terrific deal.
So this leads us on to the characters that you're going to see when you go and visit the musical.
Paul Whitehouse plays Grandad, and absolute comedy legend. If you've seen The Fast Show, I mean, you know he can play a number of characters. Pulled off Grandad perfectly. I like to think he was wearing some of the original clothing that Leonard Pierce wore. What did you make of Paul Whitehouse? You were desperate to see him, weren't you?
I was, yeah. I was a bit worried that when we arrived on the day, he wasn't going to be working, or he might be away on holiday, but we were lucky enough to see him. And yeah, I thought he was fantastic. I kind of like to say he stole the show in a way, because I think that's probably why lots of people go and watch the musical, isn't it, for Paul Whitehouse. And I don't know if you mentioned earlier on, but he had a lot to do with the writing of the musical story and a lot of the songs.
Yeah, he was approached, wasn't he?
I'm not too sure on the story.
He was approached by an agent of sort who knows Jim Sullivan, is how I understand it. It must have been an absolute privilege for him to write with the son of one of the greatest writers ever.
Yeah, and Paul's a big fan of Only Fools and Horses too, so it must have been a really proud moment for him to receive that news.
And amongst other things, Chaz from Chaz and Dave wrote many of the songs as well. Sadly, he passed away. So sadly, he would never have got to watch his funky upbeat numbers be played out by the cast. But yeah, Paul Whitehouse was brilliant, just brilliant. But
it's just difficult though, isn't it, interpreting it into a stage musical, a big Only Fools and Horses story. You know, they're going to have to sort of hide them away at certain points for other character plot lines to evolve.
Yeah.
So moving on to Del Boy, is played by an actor called Tom Bennett, and
well known.
Well known, yeah, very well known actor, very good actor. I know Tom from Well, mostly from Lee and Dean, which is a Channel 4 comedy about two builders. And yep. I believe also he was in the David Brent movie Life on the Road.
He was. He was David Brent's sort of office clown.
Yeah.
And if you were to tell me when the Brent movie was out, but because Tom Bennett was in it, if you were to tell me he would play Del Boy, I'd call you all sorts of names. In this respect that I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But he's a professional actor and he can clearly turn it on like that.
He completely smashed Del Boy, didn't he?
I'll be honest, I didn't. I was thinking, he doesn't look an awful lot like David Jason in his 40s, late 30s, 40s, and he doesn't sound an awful lot like him, but of course he's an actor. And he can, you know, he's clearly good enough to make it happen, and he was brilliant. He made it his own. You were saying that partway through the show that he sounded a lot like David Jason.
Yeah, I think he sounded just like David Jason. Scary.
First time, I probably wouldn't have agreed with you. I would have said he made it his own. But actually, when I think about it, yeah, he did actually sound quite a lot like Del Boy.
I think when it comes to musical theatre, a lot of the stuff is down to interpretation, isn't it, really? I don't think you can get 20 actors who look 100% like the actors and characters that they're playing.
Mm.
Because that's just too much to ask, you know. You have got to cut them some slack. But I think Tom did a really, really good job.
Thank you, yeah. Of this podcast. So yeah, Tom Bennett, fair play to you. I don't think he's ever sung before. I remember I watched him in an interview and he was saying I've had to sing for the first time, more or less. And again, with a musical, any musical you watch, they are professional singers. And I think a lot of these casts will tell you they've not got an awful lot of experience. And I like that because it was quite an organic sound and it went well with sort of the Chaz and Dave kind of upbeat numbers. I don't think it would have worked if you had, you know, opera quality singing voices. But yeah, brilliant.
I remember you come home crying one day because Roy Taylor got a set of roller skates for his birthday and you never. The next day, Del went out and got you a pair exactly the same as Roy Taylor's.
No, they weren't exactly the same as Roy Taylor's. They were Roy Taylor's!
Ryan Hutton, of course, plays Rodney and hasn't performed on stage before, I'm led to believe. So what a debut that is. As an actor, he looks very, very comfortable on stage. You were quite impressed by his impersonation of Rodney, weren't you?
Yes, I think Ryan Hutton did an amazing job of portraying Rodney Trotter in his mannerisms, the way he moved his body. Ryan's worked really, really hard on getting the accent right and the way Nicholas Lyndhurst or Rodney Trotter delivers his lines.
Yeah.
Because Tom and I were joking about on the way back, and I don't know if you guys notice at home, but when Rodney talks, he sort of breaks that one syllable words into two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Ryan did a really good job of that. And this is so strange, and I feel really strange saying this, but when I was sat in the theatre watching Only Fools and Horses, the musical, I just found it completely overwhelming because I didn't feel as if I was sat there watching Tom Bennett and Ryan Hutton and Peter Baker. I felt like I was sat there watching David Jason, Nicholas Lyndhurst and Roger Lloyd-Pack because they did such an amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, this is the art of the acting. Like, if you come across, say, an impersonator and they... Like we had Paul Berling on, him just over a telephone reeling off a few impersonations of the characters, it makes you feel like it's them in your fantasy world, in your mind, like, blimey, that is just to a T. And Ryan Hutton, but like all of them, but especially Rodney, that's a very hard one to pull off, I think. Yeah, and he looks very similar to a young Nicholas Lyndhurst, and you had the Dan Dare t-shirt and the checkered jackets and the fairly baggy trousers.
Yeah, he had the cast and the characters, they had quite a few different outfits, didn't they? I guess I'd say Rodney had about four different outfits, which
depending on the scene, I guess. He was one minute, he might have been in his army gear, he might have been in like tight fitted jeans, and he might have had sort of baggy combats on. So the detail of all the actors, what they had to wear, obviously Del.
Yeah, it's very accurate, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just love Grandad wearing the same throughout.
Yes, that's Grandad did.
Which is consistent, isn't it?
It is. So moving on to Diane Pilkington, who played Raquel.
Yes. She... Lovely singing voice.
Figaro.
She had quite a few numbers to sing on stage. She... The chemistry with Tom Bennett was... believable. Yeah. You can believe that's Dylan Racow easily.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, the chemistry worked 100% between Tom and Diane.
Because a young Racow was quite angelic, wasn't she? She's very kind of... As the show progressed in Falls and Altar, she becomes quite the... sort of fairly, I don't want to say dominant housewife, but she gets quite firm with Dale as she gets older. But in the episode Date, she is quite that angelic, very ladylike, gentle person. And yeah, Diane Pilkington, clearly, with Tom Bennett on stage, it was believable that they were a couple, if you like.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They work really, really well together. Then we have Pippa Duffy, who played Cassandra.
She nails the haircut of Cassandra perfectly. Pippa Duffy as Cassandra, again, with Ryan Hutton and Pippa Duffy on stage, you could believe that they're a young couple in love.
I think Pippa Duffy looked a lot like Cassandra when she walked out on stage.
Arguably, out of all of the cast, she probably looked most like her character.
I think you're probably right there, yeah.
To be, you know, and that's obviously a compliment as well. I'll guess Peter Baker as well. We'll get on to Peter in a minute, but he certainly does, yeah.
Then we've got Jeff Nicholson, who was Boise. When Jeff Nicholson walked out on stage for the first time as Boise, I think he walked out to a very warm welcome. Cheers, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was brilliant. And he had a lot of lines, you know, a lot. For the secondary characters that you saw, he had quite a lot to deliver. Of course, he's got his on-stage wife, Marlene, which we're going to come to in a moment. So there's lots of to and fro with her.
Yes, so moving on, we've got Samantha Seeger, who played Marlene.
Yeah, she had slightly scatty voice accent perfectly, wouldn't she?
I thought Samantha was absolutely brilliant, and I'm looking at a headshot now on the Only Fools and Horses musical website, and she completely transforms when she becomes Marlene, do you not think?
Mm. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, she's got the long, frizzy, curly hair, the leopard skin dress.
She's got the right gait for Marlene as well, hasn't she? Yeah.
I mean, the height, I mean, Jeff Nicholson is a tall bloke, and Samantha seemed quite short in comparison, so it visually looked brilliant.
Yeah.
Casting is spot on for this.
Then we've got Mr. Peter Baker, who of course played Trigger.
Yeah. I mean, we've already touched on, you know, how much he looked like young Roger Lloyd Pack, but it's not just that, it's his voice as well.
It is. Well, credit to these actors for sure, because Tom and I were saying, we've seen Only Fools and Horses, I know, every episode over 100 times easily.
Yeah.
But we were still laughing at these lines that we've heard, you know, day in, day out for 20 odd years because of how well these actors delivered them on stage.
So you've got Denzel's played by Adrian Irvine. Peter Gallagher, who is Danny Driscoll, and of course got Adam Venus, who plays Tony Driscoll, Chris Kiley, Mickey Pierce, Oscar Condon Murray, I've already mentioned him, but he played a number of unnamed characters. With a lovely little touch, but they had the actress Melanie Marshall, she played Mrs. Oboko. Now, she was definitely mentioned in an episode where Dale was asking Rodney and Grandad to, I think it was the boxes of lead in the Russian to come in. And he said, spread them out evenly, otherwise we'll be having tea with Mrs. Oboko from downstairs.
That's right. Melanie was absolutely fantastic, wasn't she?
Great singing voice.
Fantastic singing voice.
Really good singing. She sings one of the nicest songs in the show.
Yeah,
we won't talk about that. It is, but it's heartwarming. You were going to say?
No, I was just going to mention what you just said then. Sorry. About the song that she sings in the musical. Yeah, beautiful, fantastic voice.
Now, this Andy Mace, the actor, plays Mike the barman, and he was
brilliant.
I don't keep repeating myself, but they're all so good. Like, Andy, you were brilliant as Mike. You pulled it off. Kenneth MacDonald had certain facial expressions about him as Mike behind the bar when he was on the receiving end of a bad deal or Del Boy trying to get another free drink, and it was convincing. So well done. Watching Sid in the show played by Chris Bennett reminded me that I'd actually forgotten quite a few scenes from the first time I watched the show. So Chris Bennett as Sid was brilliant. Also starred in the show, Lee Van Jeline, Lisa Bridge, Philip Childs, who also plays Grandad when Paul Whitehouse can't, Andrew Byron, Samantha Lane and Bradley John. All excellent singers.
There was one big surprise for me whilst watching the musical. At the end, a live band walked out and it really, really surprised me. I thought the music was very, very good, but I didn't think it was a live band.
Now, do you think they were hidden because the size of the stage and the practicalities of it? Because they wouldn't be able to fit at the front, would they?
yeah, there was no pit for them, and to put them anywhere else I think would be quite distracting because everyone would be looking at the musicians rather than the actors.
Yeah, bizarrely I couldn't remember them coming out with the first time, but they obviously did. My stepdad, who I went with the first time, I said, do you remember the musicians coming out of the part of the stage? He said, yeah. I just obviously I was fixated on other parts of the stage.
Yeah, well they were cleverly hidden in the Nag's Head.
yeah brilliant. Really, yeah,
getting absolutely sloshed whilst playing the songs.
I mean, in theory they could have easily have just pre-recorded these numbers and just blurted them out, but obviously I think it played organically.
It definitely adds definitely more to it, I think.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was a really nice addition to have a live band there.
Lovely jubbly.
So I mentioned previously there are a few of the cast members which aren't in the production a massive amount, so they've cleverly been written songs which give them a bit more of a backstory rather than them having to speak dialogue out in front of us on the stage, which I thought was done really, really well.
Yeah.
And the songs were all written beautifully. There wasn't one I didn't like. I thought it was, some of them were quite emotional, wasn't it? It was a bit of a emotional roller coaster of the production because there's some really funny bits and there's also some sad bits, and it was just done so incredibly well.
Yeah, rest assured you've got newly written songs, but you have got all the classics performed as well.
Yeah.
So you won't be disappointed by that.
No, and you mentioned earlier on that Paul Whitehouse helped write some of the songs with
Chaz and Dave. I'm not even surprised that he could come up with lyrics, because he's actually quite a good singer.
He is, yeah, he's a great singer. He's a really good singer. I think it's quite easy to see that Chaz and Dave had written some of these songs. When you hear them, you'll know they've got that Chaz and Dave about them.
Yeah, you can definitely recognise a Chaz and Dave number through the drum beat alone.
How many songs do you think there were in the production?
I think there's about a dozen brand new songs.
Yeah.
Not including all the ones we know already.
So those new songs are moving characters along, progressing them in the story.
Yes. Rodney, Del and Grandad all near the start have a certain song to sing, and it's quite a song of frustration for the characters, and they all have like a verse each, and in if you listen to the lyrics carefully, it basically tells them how you, the audience, feel, how fed up they are with life and certain things that go wrong for them. But all with comedy value, of course. They're funny lyrics.
I've got a little something here for you, and what's her name?
Cassandra?
Yeah, it's a wedding present for you.
Granddad?
Yeah. There's a story attached to that cigarette case, you know. Because my grandfather was shot in the Boer War, and the bullet was heading right for his heart. But luckily, he had that in his breast pocket, and it hit that instead.
Wow. Well, it saved his life.
Not exactly. The bullet ricocheted up his nose and blew his brains out.
Why are you giving it to us, then?
Well, for good luck.
So who was your favourite character in the musical, Tom?
I would have to say, it's quite a vague question. Do you mean who I was most impressed with, or something else?
Who were you most impressed with?
Peter Baker's portrayal of Trigger.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
He looked like him, he sounded like him, he delivered his lines like him. Can't ask much more than that.
I thought there was a really, really funny scene where he was following, I'm going to say, balloons?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just like little subtle things like that, I just thought was so, so funny, just to show Trigger's intelligence level, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it had the audience roaring with laughter.
Yeah. Trigger takes centre stage at one point to sing quite a rock and roll-y song, but also psychedelic, quite a strange number.
It was like a journey through the ages of music, wasn't it? It gave, it's a quite a wide
through
genre
Peckham.
Of numbers.
Yeah. One of my favourite tunes in the show, the original.
Yeah.
Really good.
We need to touch a little bit on the general story of the musical, because I think that's what people are probably keen to hear the most about.
It is set in 1989, and we have mentioned that there are certain crossovers, mashups of character lines that you, when you watch, you'll go, hang on a minute, that's set in a certain series, but this character's in it. Ultimately, it's a story of love, if you like. Del and Raquel meet for the first time. Rodney and Cassandra already know each other, but they are progressing through life, you know, ultimately looking to get married and go away.
So there is another storyline which we haven't spoken about, and it's Del Boy borrows money from the Driscolls to give Rodney as a wedding present, and I think that's one of the main story plots, I'd say, in the musical.
So yeah, so Del and Rodney take centre stage quite rightly. Del is meeting Raquel. Rodney can't get married to Cassandra until he can afford, alongside getting married, but afford a house with her. And to get that, it's a case of needing £2,000, very much the same as the episode Little Problems, where he needs that money to be able to put down for a deposit. And that is part of the storyline.
So yeah, you've got Rodney and Cassandra, Del and Raquel, and Del and the money with the Driscolls.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the basic premises of the story, isn't it? In a nutshell, for anybody who's wondering what exactly goes on.
Mm. So there's not like a new storyline as such. I think it's a take on some of the classic storylines we've had. I've had a couple of people ask me, is every single classic moment covered? It isn't, because you'd have hours and hours of stage show time. But they've chosen wisely, I think.
Yeah.
They've chosen some of the great moments. And there are times where they will mention something that's happened in the show, in Only Fools and Horses as we know it, but you won't necessarily see it. So they've got that way around it, I suppose, rather than acting it out.
Yeah, I think you need to be really switched on when you're watching the musical, because there will be subtle things that the actors deliver in their lines which reference back to other Only Fools and Horses episodes, but it might not have anything to do with currently what they're doing on the stage. So there's some really, really nice Easter eggs there. There was a really, really interesting interactive scene in the beginning of the production, which I thought was really, really good.
Yes, there was. I totally forgot about that. Just remind me again of what happened.
There's a scene in the musical where Rodney goes on a date, and he basically makes a mistake and he turns up at a theatre in front of a full audience.
Yes.
And that full audience is us watching the Only Fools and Horses musical, so I thought that was a really, really clever take, and it did put a complete different spin on things, didn't it? It kept things fresh. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really funny. There was a little bit of audience participation as well, and a bit of interaction between the actors and the audience.
Yeah.
Which is good, and it makes me regret not buying a front row ticket. If only that was going to happen. So beware of that if you are sitting in the front row.
Be aware. Yeah, I mean, if you can afford one of the boxes, then you'll be lucky enough to have Rodney and Cassandra right next to you. And if you're right at the front, you never know. You might get a Del Boy trying to sell you something.
That's very, very true.
Behave yourself, Uncle Albert, or you won't be going.
Tom, what do you say your favourite scene is from the musical?
My favourite scene was probably the reveal of Uncle Albert.
That was really good, and I completely wasn't expecting it.
I forgot he was ever going to be present. I actually didn't know. I thought they went with just Grandad. But that's fine, it's a stage show, they can make it work. Albert reveal was excellent. I'm not going to give anything away, obviously. This is as spoiler-free podcast as possible. But that just sent a mixture of warm shivers down the spine, but also plenty of laughter. Because what was yours, Bailey?
My favourite scene was the date scene where Del goes to the dating agency to find himself a new lady.
The best song for me.
It's really annoying because Tom's been on about this song for ages. He keeps telling everyone who we interview about this song, and it's caught a bit of a sort.
Yeah.
And I was really looking forward to it, to seeing what all this hype was about. And halfway through the musical, I really just go for a wee because it was a really hot day in London and I drank so much water very quickly. So I gave Tom a nudge and I said, do you want to go for a wee a minute? He said, all right then. Anyway, as soon as I must have left, they started singing a song, so I missed about three quarters of it, which is really, really frustrating.
Did you hear it though when you were sort of doing your business, so to speak?
No. I can poo louder.
But yeah, the bit of a sort song is funny, upbeat, great lyrics. Tom Bennett and Oscar, who plays a number of different characters, they work really well together in that scene.
They do. I honestly haven't got anything bad to say about the musical at all. All the actors were absolutely out of this world. Yeah. And it's just a homage, isn't it, to Only Fools and Horses. And for anybody who's sceptical about going or is on the fence about going, hand on my heart, you just need to go and watch it because you'll be absolutely astonished. It's such a beautiful thing to witness as a fan, and I'm truly grateful for them doing it, because 10 years ago, if somebody told me that Only Fools and Horses was going to be a musical, do you know what I'd say?
You're pulling my leg!
Would you go again?
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely go again.
I just would like to think one day they'll move them a bit. They'll bring the show across the UK. But that must be such a headache to do.
It's a tricky thing, isn't it? Yeah. With a stage like that, I don't think they'll ever do it. But if they did do it, it would be absolutely fantastic. But yeah. Like you mentioned, you picked up things you didn't necessarily see the first time when you saw it.
Yeah.
It's so much to take in, being a fan, having all this goodness put in front of you. It's like, where do I look? Who do I listen to? When should I look over here? What's happening over there? I think if you went and saw it again for a second time, you'd enjoy it just as much or even more because you'd pick up things you didn't pick up the first time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was about 3 or 4 months in between going the first time and the second time, so I had a couple of scenes in mind that I remembered. And I mean, I would love to go again, but it's a whole day, isn't it? You've got to dedicate a whole day to it, depending on where you live. Yeah.
If you live in London, go and watch it every day of the week.
Yeah.
So just to conclude, the Only Fools and Horses musical for me was everything I could have wanted and much, much more, I think. It was written beautifully. It was acted in such a high standard. All the actors were absolutely amazing.
Mm.
The stage design was top notch. The stage lighting, makes a huge difference, and it was just done so well. Easily one of the best musicals that I've ever seen, and I do a lot of theatre work and I've seen a lot of musicals, but this is definitely up there.
Yeah
It's fantastic,
choreographed to perfection, I'd say. Watching it a second time for me was just as good as the first time. There probably were a few minor differences because each performance is different, isn't it? They make it their own each time, but I still had the same feeling as I came out of the Haymarket Theatre, and that was Kushti.
We saw the matinee, didn't we? Was it a Wednesday we went?
We went to the Wednesday. Both times I went to the Wednesday matinee.
And they sounded flawless, didn't they? The cast sounded flawless. Didn't sound like a midweek day show.
No.
It sounded like the performance of their careers, didn't it? And I can't praise them enough for it. They did such an amazing job, and they should be all really proud of themselves and excited for what the future holds.
Yeah, high energy levels for a Wednesday lunchtime. Credit to them. And of course, as soon as they go off stage, within an hour and a half, 2 hours, they're back on. They can do it all over again.
Yeah.
We were on the tube, weren't we, Bailey? And I noticed a stop for Acton, and we did speculate going to find the original tower block.
Yes.
Saw the stop for Acton, thought we'd got to get off. And boy, thank God we did.
Bear in mind, we didn't know where it was. We sort of got off on a whim, didn't we?
Yeah.
Then we checked our Google Maps after, but luckily it was only about a 10-minute walk, wasn't it, from Acton tube station?
10-minute walk, and we thought, Harlech Tower, there it is. We saw a postie and we said, is this definitely Harlech Tower? Is there a second Harlech Tower next to it? No, this is Harlech Tower. Obviously, we took a few snaps, didn't we? You took a few professional ones. And it's nice to see it before, sadly, it gets demolished. So.
The original Only Fools and Horses, Nelson Mandela House, which you can see on the opening sequence.
Yeah.
And on a few other episodes, such as A Slow Bus to Chingford.
Well, all the way up to 1989, when they moved to Bristol to film on a different tower block.
Yes.
But yeah, we it was a 10-minute walk, and we took a few snapshots, and we've just taken it in, weren't we? Just reminiscing all the scenes they filmed outside there, especially like say Slow Bus to Chingford.
It felt really good to visit the tower, didn't it? Because its days are numbered; it's due for demolition.
Yeah.
Any time now, and for the Only Fools and Horses fan to visit the original Nelson Mandela House, it's just a really amazing feeling, and it just felt so nice to see it, and we both went and touched the wall, didn't we?
It's quite a special moment, but the reason why I laughed there is because there were some maintenance people outside, and they're going, this is a tower block. Why?
They were sat in their van eating their sandwiches watching us, thinking, what the bloody hell are those two idiots doing?
They had no idea that we were obviously huge.
Tom was licking the doorstep, I was stroking the wall.
Didn't go that far, though.
I really wanted to tell them that we were not mad, this is Nelson Mandela House, but maybe they didn't know, maybe they do know, and they didn't care, but yeah, that was... pretty amazing. So if any of you wanted to visit the original tower block, it's literally a 10-minute walk from Acton Station. But hurry up, because it's going to be a pile of dust soon.
I've mentioned this on one of our previous podcasts, but I thought many years ago, I thought they'd knocked that tower block down, or they knocked part of it down to renovate it or whatever. But clearly haven't yet, because we witnessed it. But yeah, they are sadly going to be knocking that down.
To make way for £1 billion flats.
Yeah, yeah, it's a shame, but money is money, isn't it? Money talks.
It's their money. It's their choice.
Half de jour! Half de jour! I can feel it in my bones, Rodney.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this time next year, we'll be millionaires.
Yeah, terrific deal.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in and listening to our review / discussion of the Irving musical. I hope it's been useful and encourages you to go and see it if you were on the fence, and hopefully we haven't spoiled too much, although we did put a little spoiler disclaimer at the beginning.
I gotta say, it's been a challenge not wanting to spoil it, because I do want to just go into the nitty-gritty of more of the storyline and certain one-liners used and what was said when. But maybe we can talk about it another time.
We basically want to reenact it ourselves, just between the two of us, and put it on YouTube for everyone to see.
I mean, this has got to be our most serious podcast yet, because usually there's four of us. We do have discussions about an episode, but there's elements of clowning around. But this has been a bit more of a download, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, we're the serious ones. It's James and Ed, which are the bad influences.
Please email us if you've got any suggestions or comments you'd like to make. Our email is theofapodcast@gmail.com. Always appreciate feedback.
So yeah, you can find us on Twitter @OFA_podcast. Or even better, if you enjoy listening to our podcast, please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes, because that does help us out a lot. But bear in mind, we only want 5 stars. We don't only this 1 star business.
But yeah, thank you for your time. Oh, Instagram as well.
Oh yeah, you can find us on Instagram. It's only_fools_n underscore horses, where you can see lots of behind the scenes photographs and rare all sorts.
Lovely jubbly. Well, thank you very much for your time, Bailey. It's been a pleasure. Another Sunday evening podcast. It's been quite a while since we've done this, so
it feels good though to be able to have a chat about the Oakland musical. Yeah. Because the other guys who aren't here today haven't seen it, so they probably just would have been really bored, or they might not have wanted to hear what we were saying and keep it a surprise for themselves. If there's any fans out there who'd like to get in touch with us just for a chat about Only Fools and Horses, or to share any of your experiences about anything Only Fools and Horses related, or even take part in our quiz, feel free to get in touch with us with the email address Tom gave you earlier on, or our Twitter or Facebook page, because we would really like to hear from you.
Well, till next time, we will at long last continue with the actual episode podcast that we deliver, and I know it's been a few months. A Losing Streak will be coming to a audio cassette near you with all four of us. You looking forward to that, Bailey?
Just like old times.
Absolutely. Well, thanks once again for listening to the Jolly Boys podcast. Always appreciated.
Thank you very much for all your lovely reviews on iTunes. It means a lot. It's always good to hear positive feedback about what we do. So,
Bon bouche to you all.
Yo!
We got some half-price crack ties, some miles and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freezing, David Bowie LPs, all games, old chains, lots of names and out of push, and Trevor Frost, the track suits, and from a Mrs. Shepherd, push. No income tax, no VAT, no money back, no guarantee. Black or white, lips your throat, we'll cut prices at a stroke. Street.